dug it. I thought that was a cute song. I don't know about you, but that was apparently an old VBS song for doing the Armor of God. And as y'all heard me, y'all saw me typed it, we've been doing the Armor of God at our church on Thursday nights, and it's been a real good series. And, you know, and we kind of been going over what mostly the armor's about, and I started digging into a lot more details about the armor of God, and I started, you know, finding a lot more interesting facts, you know. So I started thinking, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do a series of messages based on the armor of God. So we're going to be going through the armor of God. Tonight we will be starting with the helmet of salvation. That's why I titled it, Your Helmet of Salvation. But I like that little song because our pastor on Thursday night has been calling Thursday night's boot camp. You know, he's dressed up in a soldier's uniform, his wife. He says, if we get out of line, we got to do push-ups. Well, I told him I don't want to embarrass him, so, you know, that's why don't ask me to do push-ups. But anyway, it's Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. Give me an amen if you're at least hearing this thing, so I know I got the mic set right, you know, because, you know, all right, that's good to go. Beth won't be here tonight. Unfortunately for her, she's going to the beach. She's going to be on the beach all weekend long. Boo! If you're hearing this, Beth, you know what? You didn't invite us to go to the beach with you, man. Come on, you know, maybe next time, you know. But anyway, folks, I'm glad you're here. It's Friday night, and I was thinking, you know, again, we're going to start going through this series. So, you know, this message is going to be a little bit longer. And I'm like, Jim's got a long-winded message. Well, some of my messages are. But I want y'all to think about this. And I just had mine off, but I took it off because, you know, I covered my ratty hair. I've been out in the yard all day sweating. It's all messed up. So I had to wear a hat. So I just took my hat off, you know. So out of respect, whenever I preach, I don't wear a hat or nothing like that because, you know, I don't think God would like that. But anyway, what is a hat? And what is its function? And I was just kind of kidding Fred a little bit. He flipped his video on, and I saw he had like a little wide brim hat, you know, and I kind of got one of those hats too when I'm working out in the yard, because the wider the brim keeps most of the sunlight off your back and your neck and your shoulders. But, you know, that's what I was thinking. I said, it was so ironic that we're starting with the helmet of salvation. Fred was showing his little picture of a hat, and I had my hat on, so that's why I'm saying, what is its function? And there are so many functions for a hat. Think about it, folks. A hat's used for decoration to an outfit, to dazzle those around you. And I'm talking about, now, if you've seen some ladies wearing hats in church, man, they got all these, like, birds and roses and all kind of things coming out. The Kentucky Derby has hats too. Yeah, see, you know. And I mean, they look good, you know, and everything else. But you know what? Also, a hat is used for recognition, for identification, such as a policeman's hat. Or how about a chef's hat? You know, when y'all see those big, tall, white ones, y'all know exactly what they are. Hey, he's a chef at a restaurant. See, a hat, it's also used for protection, such as a helmet for a football player, or a fireman, or a race car driver. See, folks, finally, a hat's also used, if you think about this, and we all seen these images, a hat's also used to give honor and recognition to something or someone, such as we've seen after 9/11. When all over the nation, you saw people wearing those hats with the big old letters NYPD or NYFD. You know, y'all know what we're talking about. I mean, we should. You know, I mean, that's New York City. But see, we saw those hats in honors of those brave men and women who died trying to save others. But did you realize that as believers, you are also called to wear a hat? The Bible speaks about the hat that we are called to wear, and it's called the helmet of salvation. That's right. You are called to wear that hat. And when we come to know Christ as our Savior, He outfits us with this helmet of salvation. And the purpose and function of the helmet of salvation are similar to those I just described for a hat. Now, Lisa's going to be posting these scriptures for us because, you know, we got two reading scriptures I'm going to read to you, and then we got a reference scripture. So our reading scriptures for tonight is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, and also it's going to be Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. So the first one, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 reads, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, such as a helmet of the hope of salvation." And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather together here this night. Father, you led me to this message. I started thinking about it. You know, I don't know why. But again, you know, I always try to respond to the best of my ability to be pleasing to you. So you laid this message on my heart that you decided to send me into this direction, that we're going to go through the whole armor of God. We've been covering this on Thursday night at our churches, and it's been very rewarding. And it's also a learning experience because I never really fully dug deep into what all the armor is. So, yeah, I knew a little bit, but I started doing some research and I started finding some interesting things. So thank you for leading me into that direction. So I hope that someone here tonight may get something out of this, or whoever may be listening to this on my sermon channel. You know, at least this can be something that might, you know, get something out of it. But Father, I ask of you one thing before we go any further. We want to give remembrance to all those who gave their lives in the previous wars. Those who served the military, those who served the police force, those who served the fire force, those who served in some sort of fashion, but mainly all those men and women in the armed services, they gave their lives, they fought for this country, so this country can be founded on God. And Father, we need to turn ourselves back to you. We need to be drawn back to you because, again, we were just discussing this earlier, that we are really straying away from what you really want us to be, and have mercy on us. But give remembrance to all those who gave their lives, and let us think about them this weekend. Father, protect those who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. You know, put the protective hedge around them, help them in whatever situation they're facing. We know that you're going to come through. We just have to trust you. And Father, thank you for loving me, a sinner who's saved by grace. Thank you for what Jesus done for me. Thank you for allowing me to have that chance to become your child. Father, we pray all this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, y'all kind of seen the title. I posted it a little bit, and I kind of posted it on the link that I sent to you. Again, the title of this message tonight is called Your Helmet of Salvation. I'm going to grab me a quick drink. Ah, yes. Still drinking coffee. You know I've been hot all day long. But, folks, the title of this message tonight is Your Helmet of Salvation. And tonight, I want us to think about, I'm going to share four separate functions of the helmet of salvation and how God has outfitted his people with this helmet of salvation as a distinct part of our spiritual armor. Now, we kind of said it last night in our group at Bethany Baptist Church, and you know, we was talking about the helmet of salvation, but we're mainly talking about all the armor. And I kind of mentioned, you know, the helmet, just like any other part of our armor, is very important. And if you look at soldiers whenever they are fighting overseas and all stuff, they will basically tell you they do not dare go out in the battlefield without their helmets. They do not dare to go out in the battlefield wearing the helmets and leave their gun behind. They do not dare to go out in the battlefields. You know, I forgot the name of that jacket they wear to protect them or whatever. But see, they are putting on the armor, so the same thing to us. We're fighting a spiritual war, friends. We're not dealing with stuff in the flesh. We're not dealing with stuff in this world. We are dealing in a spiritual warfare. And this is why God has called us to put on that armor, because you and I, friends, are a soldier, and we're going to be in the fight to the very end. So it's very important for you to understand what the armor means. It's very important for you to understand that you, whenever you are going out in this world or even leaving your house, you need to put on the armor of God, because I guarantee, and I've been making a joke, you know, on Thursday night, look, I put on the armor of God every day because I need it, because the warfare, the spiritual warfare, is real, and Satan wants to get at all of us. But guess what? I kind of make a joke. I don't know if some of you are body mechanics or not, but I carry me, I say, well, you know, I need Bondo, because sometimes I put a hole in my armor and I got to patch it up. But we need that armor. We need to understand what the armor does. And this is why, again, we're starting tonight about the helmet of salvation. Again, four things we're going to cover tonight what that helmet does. The first thing I want us to look at, is the helmet of salvation represent who we are. It identifies you and I. Now, I'm not sure if she's going to post all of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, but, you know, I encourage you to read it, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10, because this is where the scriptures I will be covering through in the remainder of this message, and we got a few more will be posted. But again, I want us to understand, folks, as a hat of a baseball player or the helmet of a football player identifies them to their team. You get that? When you look at sports, the football players, baseball players, you know, whenever you see their helmet, you know their logo, because you know it identifies them to that particular team. So again, we as Christians, when we wear the helmet of salvation, it identifies us to Jesus Christ. See, this helmet of salvation that Paul speaks about here, folks, is part of the spiritual armor that sets you apart from the world. And in this passage, Paul uses the illustration of day and night to describe the two sides of the struggle all believers have and experience. That's right. When you read through that chapter, chapter 5, 1 through 10, Paul is identifying two sides of the struggles that all believers have and experience. The dark represents the evil and broken nature of this world. And here Paul speaks of those who sleep, those slumbering through life, no knowledge of events, totally clueless about outside information, and fully not prepared for the attacks of the enemy or the coming judgment of the day of the Lord. These people, my friends, these people are the people of the dark. These people seek only self-gratification. They are self-centered and spiritually asleep, as their focus is on inward, on themselves, and not on the God that gives them life and purpose. Paul also speaks about the side of light here in these passages. He speaks to believers as being people of the day. Or as Paul puts it, let us who are of the day. And those of the day are the opposite of those of the night. And there's no similarities between the two, folks. There's none. Those of day are awake, aware of any spiritual danger lurking in their lives. And Paul tells us to watch and be sober, or in other words, be vigilant and purpose. Let me rephrase. Be vigilant and purposely on guard in our intentions to serve Christ. And the people of the day are not focused on self. They're not. They are focused on Christ. And as believers, we are clothed in Christ, as Paul describes on many occasions in his writings. In other words, what Paul is saying is that once we are saved, we are battle dressed with the armor of God, and part of that armor is the helmet of salvation. The second thing that the helmet of salvation does, the helmet identifies us with our Savior. Meaning, it identifies us with Jesus Christ. It reveals to the world who we want to be identified with. This helmet not only identifies us to whom we stand with, but it also identifies us on how we, you and I, should be acting and living today. Now, have you seen the way, and I'm not sure if you've seen this or not, but I have. Have you seen the way some people wear the hats today? Many turns it sideways. Some's got it backwards. Some has the hat, I've seen this, yes, folks, flipped inside out. Or they got that bill flipped up. Or even sometimes they got it even so far down, it's covering their eyes. Now, I started thinking about that, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what would be a good illustration. But you think about it, a baseball coach said there is only one way to wear your baseball cap. And that is the bill facing forward and level on your head. Well, likewise, believers are called by God to wear our helmet of salvation a certain way, not in a way we determine to be best or what the world thinks, but we are called to submit and surrender to Christ and allow Him to set the standard on how we are to wear the helmet of salvation. We have no say-so in the matter. There's only one way to wear that helmet, and that's God's way. We are given this helmet that identifies us with Jesus, and it reveals how we have changed and who is responsible for that change. This helmet of salvation represents who we are after Christ comes into our lives. It identifies us as believers in Jesus Christ. It identifies us as believers in Christ as Lord, Savior, and God of the universe. We have learned that the helmet of salvation identifies us. But how does that work? How does it identify us as believers? Also, if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we can see Paul details how the believer is to act, and they should comfort one another, believer to believer. They should edify each other. And I mean, don't gossip, don't backbite, or tear anyone down. He also says that we should recognize other believers. Folks, we, you and I, are on the same team. It says that we should recognize godly leadership. Uh-oh, you done went down the wrong path there now, Jimbo, because I can tell you something, churches right now, they don't agree with that. Many of the church claims, we run the show. Many deacons holler, hey, I'm the boss of this place. Many people on the committee says, nah, Pastor, you don't say nothing. We tell you what to do. We run this church. Ooh, boy, I stepped on some toes there. Folks, I'm sorry, but you must recognize godly leadership. God is the one that puts people in positions. God has placed that pastor or that teacher in the church to lead you, not the other way around. Also, what this helmet is supposed to do to us, if you look at what Paul is saying here, it's telling us be at peace, meaning with each other, with yourself. Also, it's telling us warn those who are not listening to God's words. And folks, I'm telling you, be bold about it. Sound that alarm. Ring that bell. We need to warn the folks out there. Hey, time's getting close. Now, people might say, well, many people made predictions of end times. Yes, they have. But you know what? We don't rely on man. We rely on the Word of God. So we need to be bold and telling everybody who is not listening to the Word of God, hey, it's getting close. It's getting close. Repent. Repent. John the Baptist did it back then. He hollered to all the heathens out there, repent. Repent. Folks, time is getting close. He also says, when you look in these passages, he says, comfort and encourage those weak in the faith. Not rip them apart, not tear them down, but be strong. Help them. Encourage them. Build them up. Oh, here's another one some people don't like. He's also telling us, be patient with all people. Stand up against all forms of evil. Always do the right thing. Oh, man, Jim, that's a hard saying, brother. That's right, it is. But that's what he's saying right there in these passages. Also, if you look at it, he's also saying, look, always rejoice in Christ. Always be in prayer for others and for the kingdom. Always have a thankful spirit. Folks, look, the reason why I'm saying this, don't be a wet blanket just because you don't like the way things are being done. Oh, we got a lot of people out there who are wet blankets because they just do not like the way things are being done. Get over it. That's not who you are supposed to be. See, folks, these are the evidence, if you're doing what I just said, these are the evidence in your life that you are wearing the helmet of salvation, that you have come to know Christ as Savior. These things do not save you. Make note of that. They don't. But these things are what happens to you and how you should act. After you are saved. Not before. After. After you put on the helmet of salvation. So as believers, if we are to be identified by this helmet of salvation, we are to wear it proudly and boldly so that no one is confused where our allegiance lies. And as believers, we are called to wear the helmet of salvation as God has commanded in His Word. Your helmet of salvation identifies you as a follower of Christ, nothing else. So let me ask you a question. Now, some might be squirming if they're hearing this. If I was probably being in a church preaching this message, I probably could see a lot of people sitting in those pews. Uh-oh. They could probably, you can see them shifting and squirming. You can see they're probably not liking what's fixing to go down. But I guarantee you, but let me ask you this question. Are you wearing your helmet of salvation in such a way that people see your faith or feel your hope or know your love for God and others? Are they saying that? See, now that we understand how the helmet of salvation identifies believer, I want us to look at the third function of this helmet, and that is the helmet of salvation is for our spiritual protection. That's right. Again, as 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, and look at that, pay attention to it. It says this, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation is for spiritual protection of the believer. It spiritually protects us from the enemy who is always out to destroy us. It spiritually protects us from this evil and broken world. And it spiritually protects us from ourselves and these terrible decisions we sometimes make. Now, in our world here, we know that a helmet is used for protection. A hard hat is worn for protection in a construction zone. A motorcycle helmet is worn for protection when riding a motorbike. A soldier's helmet is worn for protection during training or in battle. A football helmet is worn for protection so that the player won't suffer head injuries while playing football. So let's go back to verse 8 and see what Paul is saying here. And here, Paul is using the illustration of the breastplate and helmet. And this is important because the breastplate was also used by soldiers to protect the heart and all vital organs of the torso. And likewise, the helmet was used for protection of the head, the brain, vision, hearing, and speech. And as believers, a helmet of salvation is also for our spiritual protection. You read further on in verses 23 to 24 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul reveals just how this helmet of salvation will protect the one who wears it. Let's look at it. Verse 23 and 24, it says right there. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and who also will do it. See that, folks? God himself will sanctify you. Do you know what the word sanctify really means? Do you know what it means? It means to make holy, to be free from sin, or to officially approve of the righteous things of God. So when Paul says here in verse 23 to 24 that those who wear the helmet of salvation, God, my friends, pay attention to this, God is going to make them holy, not you. God is the one that does that. He sets them aside for his purpose and his plans. Y'all probably heard this joke, and it was in a movie. I forgot the movie. But you know how you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Tell him your plans. Folks, that's not how it works. God sets us aside for his purpose and his plan. God is going to free them from the sin. God's going to free us from sin. He's going to forgive and cleanse their hearts and their lives just like he did us. God is going to officially approve of them as those who are saved stand blameless before God. The helmet of salvation assures us sanctification by God. That is holiness, forgiveness, and God's approval. In other words, my friends, eternal security, eternal protection from Satan and the damnation he wants to bring on our soul. Satan may be able to hurt us physically, but the world and its evil can surely do damage to us physically. But they can never do damage to us from a spiritual perspective to those who wear the helmet of salvation. We, my friends, are spiritually protected from that. We are. And as believers, we wear the helmet of salvation to protect us from the evil of this world and the evil one who seeks to destroy us. Protected by the helmet of salvation. So how does that work? How can this helmet protect me as a believer? How? Very simple. With the helmet of salvation, we are protected in Christ because we are secured in Him. With the helmet of salvation, we are identified with Christ so that we can witness for Him. And finally, my friends, finally, I want us to look at the fourth and final function of the helmet of salvation. The fourth function of the helmet of salvation, it brings honor to whom it represents. Do you get that? It brings honor to whom it represents. The helmet of salvation proclaims proudly and loudly that God has changed you and saved you. It screams to the world that God has brought salvation by delivering you from darkness of sin and from the wrath of God's judgment. That, my friends, is what we are saved from. God's wrath. Christ died that you might live. Jesus paved the way for you to have salvation. Jesus opened the door that none of us could open. Jesus is the reason, folks. Jesus is the only reason we can know salvation. We wear this helmet of salvation to reveal our respect, honor, and love for Jesus and what He has done for us on the cross. We are called to wear our helmet of salvation proudly out of our respect and honor to Jesus for what He's done on the cross at Calvary, folks. We should proudly go out into the world revealing and shouting and praising and giving thanks and glory to who we are, who we serve, and what He has done for us. That's what we should be doing. And sadly, I see many Christians not doing that. What's wrong? Do you want to show the world who you serve? I do. Wearing a helmet of salvation reveals who you serve. And through the sanctification that comes in salvation, God is the one who brings it about in our lives. The good works, the good deeds, the righteous lifestyles. God is the one that does that, not us. In other words, when we get saved, folks, we begin to do good things in His name with the help of the Holy Spirit Himself. And those, look, folks, let me tell you something. Those good works, they're not part of our salvation. And they do not save us or keep us saved. But those good works are a direct result of our salvation in Jesus Christ, produced by the Holy Spirit Himself. See, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, this is what He said. He said that our good works should shine bright in this world. In other words, they should be seen. Now, we want them seen, not, listen to this carefully. We want them to be seen, not for our glory or credit. We can't boast on that. But that it brings glory, honor, and praise to Christ for what He has done in our lives and for this world. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. And I love how I did some studies on this, and I don't take credit for none of this. I was just used by the Holy Spirit to pen this message. Nothing more, nothing less. And folks, today people wear hats for many reasons. But as believers, we wear a special hat, the helmet of salvation, and it has many functions in our lives. As I said, the first helmet of salvation function is to identify us with Christ, to let the world know who we are, where we stand, and whose side we're on. Secondly, the helmet of salvation function, again, is spiritual protection from the one who's trying to attack us. It's protecting us spiritually from the evil one and from the evils of this world. That's what it's doing. The third helmet, or the third function, again, as I just said, is to give honor and respect to the Savior that we serve. And the fourth one that I mentioned that the helmet of salvation does, and I love it, as I just said, it brings honor to whom it represents. It represents Jesus, not Jimmy Thibodeau, not Lisa, not Fred, not Toby. It represents Jesus. It represents Jesus. And today, as believers, you have the helmet of salvation. So let me ask you a question again. Are you wearing your helmet of salvation as you have been called to wear it? Does it identify Christ in your life? Are you confident in your obedience and service to God because you know that this helmet of salvation protects you? Or do you live in fear of failure or defeat, even though that Christ has overcome the world and Satan himself? So finally tonight, are you proudly displaying your helmet? Are you proud to be a Christian? Is the salvation you claim so dear to you important enough that you share it with the world around you constantly? Is it? Are you showing respect and honor to God in your service to Him? Are you wearing the helmet of salvation in such a way that you bring Him honor and glory? Does the helmet of salvation allow you to reveal compassion, patience, and forgiveness required of all believers? Are you? I sure hope so. I hope so. And if not, my suggestion to you, you better sit down and have a conversation with God. Because sometimes, folks, as I heard another message last night, we need to be chastised. We need to be. God does not like chastising us, but yet he does. And if we're dealing with so much difficulties in our lives, so much hardships and pain, God allows it to go on too. But a lot of times, whenever we are not doing something right, he, like a loving father, will chastise us. So I want you to leave tonight with this message. And in this message, you have heard how the helmet of salvation that comes to all believers, you have heard how it has several functions. But most importantly, you have heard that when salvation comes your way, pay attention, God is going to move you forward in his kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight to thank you for loving us, showing us what we must do, and if necessary, to correct us. I know at times we don't like correcting, but at times we must be reminded. We must be reminded of who we represent. We don't represent ourselves. We represent your son. And we need to think about it. Are we doing this the right way? Are we doing it the wrong way? Are we doing it for self-gratification and intention towards us? Or should this be given honor to you? Either way, we need to rethink our thoughts and need to focus ourselves on heavenly things. And Father, if we're not right, then we need to get right. If we've been messing up, we need to straighten that up. If we're not wearing that armor, the whole armor of God, in a correct way to reflect who you are, then something's wrong with us. Look, we're not perfect. We need your wisdom, your help, your guidance, your strength, your courage, your leadership. We need you all the time, not sometimes. Oh! I stumbled many times and I busted many holes in my armor. I've been patching it up since then. But I'm asking right now to help me get it right. And let me show the world what you are capable of doing. Thank you for showing me this message. And showing me some things as of late. Because I kind of been needing that. It helped me refocus my focus. I kind of been on self for a while on that self kick. And you allowed me to go down that road for quite a while, but you had to chastise me, and though I didn't like it, but I listened. Now I'm striving to do better. So, Father, thank you for your mercy, your love, your kindness, and yes, even thank you for chastising me. So I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. And, Father, those who may be listening to this message on this internet world, I hope that it speaks to them and their hearts and causes them to rethink. Should I be doing better? Should I? We hope so. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.